Grab your Bibles. Will you please turn with me to the book of Joshua, chapter 2. We will be reading portions of chapter 2. Familiar story. As we continue to think about unlikely heroes of the faith, I want us to look today at some unlikely help from a very unlikely person, Rahab. Joshua chapter 2. Then Joshua, son of Nun, sent two men secretly from Shittim as spies, saying, "Go view the land, especially Jericho." So they went and entered the house of a prostitute whose name was Rahab and spent the night there. The king of Jericho was told, "Some Israelites have come here tonight to search out the land." Then the king of Jericho sent orders to Rahab, "Bring out the men who have come to you, who entered your house, for they have come only to search out the whole land." But the woman took the two men and hid them. Then she said, "True, the men came to me, but I did not know where they came from." And when it was time to close the gate at dark, the men went out. "Where the men went, I do not know. Pursue them quickly, for you can't overtake them." She had, however, brought them up to the roof and hidden them with the stalks of flax that she had laid out on the roof. So the men pursued them on the way to the Jordan as far as the fords. As soon as the pursuers had gone out, the gate was shut. Before they went to sleep, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, "I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that dread of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land melt in fear before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites that were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. As soon as we heard it, our hearts melted, and there was no courage left in any of us because of you. The Lord your God is indeed God in heaven above and on earth below. Now then, since I have dealt kindly with you, swear to me by the Lord that in turn you will deal kindly with my family. Give me a sign of good faith that you will spare my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and deliver our lives from death." Unlikely heroes and heroines of the faith. Rahab is one of those. I'm not going to save it for next Christmas because I'll probably forget by then. But it really kind of fits with unlikely heroes.
Maurice was in the second grade, though he was really supposed to be in the fourth grade. But Maurice was a little bit slower than the other children in many different ways, physically, emotionally, and mentally. And so he was in the second grade. But he was much bigger than the other children. Whenever the time came to choose teams for sports, Maurice would stand on the sidelines and just hope and pray that someone would choose him. And even though he might be the last one chosen, he was thrilled that somebody would choose him, even though they may not even throw the ball to him. And he had been a shepherd, no speaking part, standing there with a shepherd's crook. He hoped for more this year. And as the time came for the Christmas pageant to choose the characters, the teacher decided that Maurice was so much bigger than the others, and if they drilled him enough with his lines, he could be the innkeeper, a very imposing figure. And so they worked and worked and worked with Maurice, who was so proud and so thrilled to be able to speak and to be something other than a shepherd. The time came for that particular program. The auditorium was filled with people. And Maurice stood in the wings waiting for his moment. The teacher looked, and she could see his mouth moving as he continued to repeat his lines to himself. Finally, the time came, and Mary and Joseph come across the stage to the end, and Maurice steps out. And everyone wondered what's going to happen now. Joseph asked for a place to stay, and in his very deep 9-year-old voice, Maurice, towering over Joseph, who was a second grader, said, "There's no room in the inn. You have to go. Get out of here." And Joseph pleaded some more. And Maurice listened and looked at Joseph and looked at Mary and said, "There is no room in the inn. You have to go. Get out of here." And Joseph pleaded even more with the innkeeper about his wife and about the baby that was to be born, and they really had no place to go when it was late. And Maurice stood there staring and stood there staring. And a teacher whispered from off the stage as people in the audience were getting a little restless, "There is no room. You have to go." And Maurice said, "There is no room. You have to go. Get out of here." So Joseph and Mary turned and started away. And suddenly, Maurice spoke again. With tears streaming down his face, he said, "Wait a minute. Come back. You can have my room. I'll go." No one ever forgot that Christmas pageant. And the unlikely hero who got it, Maurice, changed the story a little bit, but he got it. He was the hero in that play. We come today to a story with a very unlikely heroine, Rahab. A prostitute. Someone who was used to having strangers come to her house. And someone who was known for having strangers come to her house. Someone who was probably treated like an outcast by many, even her own family. Because if you'll notice, when she pleads for them later, she is the one in the house with the two spies, not her family. And if we were to continue reading, we would find that she had to gather her family together in her house to be saved when the Israelites take Jericho. And so, here we come to this point. Moses is dead. Joshua is leading the people of Israel into the land of promise. He wasn't too sure about everything he needed to do, but he had paid attention to what Moses had done. And so Joshua decides, Moses had sent 12 spies into the land earlier, and Joshua had been one of those. So he was going to send 2 spies in to check things out, especially the city of Jericho. Because you see, from where they were across the Jordan River, the first place they would encounter of any significance would be this great walled city overlooking the major trade route that came in through southern Palestine. Whoever controlled Jericho controlled the traffic in and out of the southern part of the land from across the Jordan. And so he sends these 2 spies. Now, this is an important chapter because it not only connects chapter 1, when they are about to enter the land, with chapter 6, when they take Jericho, but it also shows a contrast with chapter 7, where Achan, one of the Israelites, commits a sin that exemplifies Israel's unfaithfulness to God. And here we have the Canaanite, Rahab, who is shown as faithful when Israel is unfaithful. Even though her people do not worship Yahweh, Rahab comes to worship and believe, even when the Israelites fail. And so she is a strong contrast. She is also the first Canaanite that these spies encounter. And she is the first Canaanite of any place to believe in the one true God. In fact, she is praised in the New Testament. She is praised in Hebrews chapter 11 in verse 31. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient because she had received the spies in peace. And in James chapter 2, when James is talking about faith and works, in verse 25 he says, likewise was not Rahab the prostitute also justified by works when she welcomed the messengers and sent them out by another road? We also find in Rahab's story that it's not just about words. It is about life and deeds. The evidence of her faith is shown in what she does, as well as what she says. So here, chapter 2. Joshua sends two spies secretly. I don't know if you see the humor in that or not. Because the text says us that he sends them secretly to spy out the land, and yet they get there, they try to blend in, they enter Rahab's house, and immediately the king sends word that he knows they're there. Some military secret. He knows they're there, and he knows who they are, and he knows why they're there. To spy out the land. Now the spies go to Rahab's house, a place that, as we said a few moments ago, was frequented by strangers. There was no surprise that strange men would find their way to Rahab's. Yet the spies are not there because she's a prostitute. The spies are there trying to blend in. They maintain their ritual purity, but they're there trying to blend in with other strangers so that their mission will remain secret. Too late, but so that their mission will remain secret. The king of Jericho is informed of their presence, and he sends messengers to the most likely place, Rahab's house. The most likely place for an unlikely hero. The king, his men, even Rahab know the mission of these spies. And you would think Rahab could name her price in the kingdom. She could gain a great reward. Perhaps she could even get out of her profession by turning them over to the king and demanding a reward. But Rahab was different. She was afraid like everyone else. Everyone in the land was afraid. She even tells the spies that the people's hearts have melted because they're afraid of the Israelites. And yet Rahab believes that God is more powerful than their Canaanite gods. Rahab believes that God is going to give them the land, and so she makes a decision. She decides to hide the spies and to mislead the king's men. So she takes the spies and puts them up in the roof area of her house, hiding them behind the flax that she has there. And when the king's men come, she tells them, "Oh, these strangers were here, but they left before the gates were closed. Maybe you can catch them." And so the king's men go out, and immediately the gates are closed, and the men are shut inside. That was one of the protections that Jericho offered. When the day got late and the light started to fail to keep opposing armies from slipping in and conquering them, they would close the great gates at dark and lock them so that people couldn't go out and people couldn't come in. So the king's men are on their way, and they go as far as the river, and they can't find the spies. And so they spend the rest of their time searching out in the wilderness. Now, all of this is leading up to the heart of the story and the heart of Rahab's life. The heart of our looking at Rahab as a hero or a heroine, female hero. In verses 9 and following, we have Rahab's confession of faith. We've already read the statements in Hebrews and James about her. And while we see Rahab's faith outwardly from what they say, that she proved her faith by hiding the spies, it comes from inside. It's not merely a ploy to help her. It's something that comes from inside of her. Note the confession that she makes. I know that the Lord, and by the way, in the Hebrew text, the word here is Yahweh, the sacred tetragrammaton for God, God's most sacred name, YHWH. I know that Yahweh, the Lord, has given you the land, and that dread of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land melt in fear before you, for we have heard how the Lord, once again Yahweh, she knew God's sacred name. In Hebrew. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites that were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. As soon as we heard it, our hearts melted, and there was no courage left in any of us because of you. But then she says, the Lord your God is indeed God in heaven above and on earth below. She had worshipped the Canaanite gods for years. But she has come to know that the God of the Hebrews is the one true and living God. And she embraces Yahweh as her own. When she says this, she is embracing God as her own. The Canaanites feared Israel. The whole land melted. And Rahab believed and affirmed that Israel's God had dominion over all the heaven and over all the earth, which means if the Canaanite gods even existed, God was still superior. But here is Rahab, a prostitute, a Canaanite, an unlikely heroine, affirming that Israel's God is over all of the universe. She states that Yahweh is the only God, using the personal name of God in addressing the spies, which shows she has accepted God inside. Using the personal name of God is a sign of a relationship that she has already accepted. It's not just so many words. It comes from inside. She talks of God as sovereign and exclusive ruler over everything and everyone. She's doing more than trying to save herself. In fact, we read a while ago, did she ask that the spies, when they take the land, save her? If you go back and read, she says, would you save my family? My father, my mother, my sisters, my brothers, and everybody that belongs to them. She didn't even ask for herself. Now, some say, oh, well, that would be presumed, but not necessarily so. She doesn't say, save me. She says, would you save my family? Those from whom she had been an outcast. She is now their heroine as well. Because of her faith, her belief, and because of her action, she provides life for others, forgetting herself for them. She had become convinced of who God is, and that had changed her actions. Rahab is a prime example of a foreigner who responded in faith to Israel's God. She was not Jewish. She is a Gentile. And guess what? We are Gentiles. Here, all the way back at this time, we find that anyone, regardless of their ethnicity, regardless of their culture, regardless of their gender, the same thing that Paul says in Galatians, for we who are Christians, that there is neither male nor female, Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, for we are all one in Christ Jesus. That same thing, before the coming of Christ, is shown here in Rahab. That anyone in any nation who believes in God and accepts God will be accepted by God, regardless of what has been done, regardless of the life lived, regardless of whether one is from the side of the tracks where things aren't so good, or the side of the tracks where the spoons are of silver and gold. What happens inside makes one acceptable to God. In fact, Rahab is included in the genealogy of Jesus in Matthew chapter 1. Because you see, Rahab didn't just confess God here. But when Rahab and her family are saved, Rahab and her family join the Israelites and worship Yahweh and become people of the covenant. And she is listed in that genealogy along with Tamar and Ruth and Bathsheba, three foreigners, and Mary, who was of the house of David. The inclusiveness of Gentiles by God is seen here, an inclusiveness that gives hope for you and for me and for any and all. Hope of acceptance by God and hope to be someone's unlikely hero as we live our lives with God. Rahab is no longer Canaanite, but becomes covenant person. Covenant person with God, and shows that God's interest is in all people in all the world if they will come to Him and accept His love and grace. And she shows God's care for people throughout the world. You know, sometimes you and I find help in unlikely persons and in unlikely places. Sometimes we may even give unlikely assistance. We learn in Rahab that God works in and through unlikely heroes, perhaps even in and through us. But we are used when we do not just say, I believe, but when we act in belief. When we become no longer Gentile or Jew, but when we become one as God's consummate child, sharing the unlikely that God multiplies into possibility. Join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, sometimes we seem so inadequate. And sometimes that feeling causes our hearts to melt, so that we step back, and so that we do not act. But then there are those moments where You reach out and touch us in ways that we don't imagine, ways that help us to live our belief. Show us what we need to do so that others may know Your grace, may know Your desires, may know that they too might be an unlikely hero, a hero of the faith. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of decision is hymn number 406. Teach me, O Lord, I pray. As we sing, our invitation is simple. If you've never made a profession of faith in Christ as Lord and Savior, our altar is open and we would welcome you. If you're looking for a church home and feel that God has led you to minister in this place with us and with God in His life in the world, our altar is open and we would gladly welcome you. As we sing together, hymn number 406, Teach me, O Lord, I pray.